Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hey, everybody, welcome into the program. Of course, I can't hear myself. No, I can. Sort of. You got me? Eddie, this is normal.
This is every week.
Every week.
Well, you there we go.
You, you can tell Clint's back because it's never checked out ahead of time.
Oh, come on.
Poor Clint. Clint doesn't deserve that.
Yes, he did.
Welcome back, Clint.
Well, I am back.
Welcome back, Carter. Yep.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Bobby Ardwan, Bruce Brown, Tom Brown, Glenn Quibido. I'm Don Allen, and we've got 2 hours for you tonight. A lot of it's going to be football. We're putting that to the side for the moment. We're going to talk about something else first as we welcome in our guest and his theme song, Glenn.
It better be Run for the Roses.
It's coming later.
Oh,
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, Stuball was a racehorse.
Jeez.
And I wish he
I know you remember that. It was recorded about the same time you were born, Glenn.
No, but the song for Eddie is Run for the Roses.
That comes
That's
later
his
in,
song.
That comes later in the show.
That's his song.
No, comes later in the show, Glenn.
Okay. Like later in his life?
No, yeah. I'll check everything with you ahead of time next
okay,
time.
Okay, well, so when you are music for stuff like that, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You finished being sarcastic. You already jumped on Tom, and I mean, you got me. I wasn't a minute in here. Then you got on Tom. Now you get on me again. Eddie, you safe, though. He never gets on guests. So feel safe, Eddie. Feel safe. Clint, get the helmets.
Special guest tonight. Once Glenn is finished, you finished?
Yeah, if you
Glenn, late. They're behind you.
That's true, they are.
It's Eddie Delahousie, who began his riding career in 1968, shut it down in 2003 because of injuries. 10 years later, he was the top American jockey, 1978, with 384 wins. And there were about, let me see how many more, almost 6,000 wins. Almost 6,000 wins later. And what we're here to talk about, Eddie's joining us to speak of Randy Romero, who passed away, I guess, 10, 12 days ago.
I think it was August 28th?
Yeah.
29th.
29th? Yeah, August 29th. And services were held yesterday.
Correct.
And we want to talk to Eddie a little bit about Randy. Randy passed at the age of 61. He began his career at Evangeline Downs. Set a record at the fairgrounds for wins at some point. Had great success at the Breeders' Cup. And was a good friend of yours, right?
Correct. Yeah, he was a great guy. Great guy. But he was also a great rider, a jockey. But everybody loved Randy. You know, he handled himself very well.
Both of you guys were great riders and great jockeys. I mean, that goes without saying. In fact, I don't know how many years ago it was, but Evangeline Downs earned the nickname the Cradle of Jockeys. And it was with the number of jockeys that this area produced.
Absolutely. Yeah, and unfortunately we won't see that anymore.
Uh-uh.
Won't see that anymore. That's a generation gone. And with all the lawsuits and stuff that goes around, you know, when we were kids riding match races, just like Randy, we got hurt. Well, our parents put us in the car and took us to the hospital, you know. And it wasn't that. But today, if somebody gets hurt, naturally, they want to sue. But we wanted to do that. That was our working up on our career, and it's something we loved. And it wasn't there for us to sue somebody. We were just enjoying their property and letting us do it.
You knew the risks.
Yes.
You knew the risks.
Yes.
And that's what and now, has changed.
Money was not your objective, really, then, was
no.
it?
No. It was, it came later.
I'm sure it did.
It's natural.
That point at 9 years old, no. No. It was just having a good time.
Glenn's favorite theory about this is, and I don't know if anybody can argue, that one of the big reasons that racing has fallen so much in this area is the disappearance of the bush tracks.
That plays a big factor. I say a big factor. It plays a factor in it, but there's a lot more, just like we're saying, lawsuits and things that are causing the problems with racing.
Yep.
And medication. And our industry, any more trainers nowadays, they're more promoters than trainers. Back in the old days, you had a horseman, he took care of it. He didn't need a veterinarian. He knew what to do with him. Exactly. Now the vets run the racetrack.
It's funny you say that because one of the old trainers was, there were two old trainers at the funeral yesterday, and that's exactly what they were talking about. Yeah. And one guy said the vets are going crazy. He said that what they charging us for the horses and stuff.
But I blame the horsemen. They're not horsemen. I blame them. Hey, you should know if your horse has a problem. If he has a big problem that you can't correct, turn him out in that pasture. That's what it's for. But they don't. They inject them, and they don't even x-ray them before they inject them. That's what's crazy. Wow. And, I love this sport, but I hate to see what's going on right now.
The training center across the road here, is it closed?
Yes, they closed it.
They closed it. So the old Evangeline Downs Training Center is closed. Yeah. Which is going to hurt everybody, especially aspiring jockeys, because they have no place to train.
Well, there's a...
There's one in Opelousas.
Top of Crown. I don't know whether you're
familiar I'm familiar with it. Yeah, I know where it's at. Yeah. And, but it doesn't hold enough horses or people
like this
to
one
help
did.
The industry.
Have you been to that training facility?
Yes, it's a nice training facility.
So yeah, because they have a track and everything.
Yeah.
In the back, I was just wondering.
Yeah. I've been there. I've been there quite a few times. In fact, Jake DeLone and them have their horses there.
Yes.
Jake and them train out of there because they were training here at the Evangeline Training Center.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
you and I both attended the services yesterday in ERATH, and it was great to see the turnout that they had. And, Don, you'd be interested in this. I turned around and looked towards the back of the church because I didn't know who I was going to see there. Pat Day was supposed to be there. He was unable to make it because of an illness with his wife. And I was kind of looking, kind of people watching.
Yeah.
And I turned around, and Charles Ashe, remember that Ashe? Mm-hmm. I said, is that Charles Ashe?
The senior?
The senior. Yeah, okay. I'm telling you, Don, if you saw him today, he looks just like he did 30 years ago. He didn't change a lick. I went outside and asked him later. I said, Charles, that you? He said, yeah.
That sounded like a Cajun.
Well,
is that you?
Well, that was the old Evangeline Mead commercial. Floyd, is that you? The selling Evangeline. But we digress. But
we never do that before.
The memorial service, was really nice. The people of ERAD turned out. We had people from different parts of the country, the state, show up. And after the mass, went next door. They have a community center, and then they had a number of people get up and speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you what, Eddie started it off and did a great job, and then from there, I left after about an hour and a half, but I didn't plan on staying. But like I told Nathan Granger, he was a big friend. He is a big friend of Randy's. I told him later, I called him last night, I said, you know, Nathan, I didn't plan on writing a story about this, but I said, once y'all got started talking, starting with Eddie, I said, I had my cell phone, and I just put the recorder on, and I started recording, and I said, I sat here tonight, and I said, you know, I knocked out a story, I want to run it by you, because I got a lot of quotes from you, and... there were a lot of tears. There were a lot of laughs in there. The one common theme that came out of that was Randy Romero was a better human being than he was a jockey, and that's a hard damn thing to do.
You heard a lot about that with Tony Robichaud as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
You know, same thing.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Man.
Eddie, Randy had over 20 surgeries because of racing industries and that and injuries, and that doesn't even count what happened at Oaklawn in 1983.
Right.
When he was going into the sauna and had put rubbing alcohol on his body and went in and somehow broke a light bulb and was ignited, literally, his entire body. And he was recovering for 7 months. But after the 7 months, he started riding again and riding extremely well.
Yeah, he was a tough, tough person, a tough man. And, yeah, he had a lot of spills. I'll tell you a story. When he first had, I'm a few years older than him. And when he first had the bug at Evangeline Downs, Randy wanted to win so bad. He tried to get through when there wasn't a hole.
Yeah.
You know, and he'd hit the ground, and a bunch of us was telling Randy, well, I want to win. I want to win. Yeah, but there's no hole there. You can't go through that hole. There's no hole. You're going to kill yourself. No, I want to win. I thought I could have got through. Well, he didn't do that once. He'd done that quite a few times until finally I guess he got hurt bad enough one day somewhere, and it registered. But he was tough. He wanted to win so bad.
In one racing publication, they asked him how many injuries he sustained. By his own estimation, and I put it in the story, he believed he had been in at least 35 serious accidents and had over 25 surgeries.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing that he could continue his career. But like Eddie said, he wanted to win so bad that nothing else mattered. He had a drive that was unbelievable. Everybody that you talked to would say that. You know, his desire to excel. To, like you told the story about him going over there and leaving Santa Anita.
In California.
Because he told Eddie, he said he wanted to be the big dog. Now he's over there with Shoemaker and Eddie and Chris McCarron, Lafitte Pincai, all them guys. And he said he wanted to be the top dog. And he said, it takes a while.
Yeah. He wanted to win so bad. But, you know, he was a guy that everybody liked him. It's no hesitation. He'd get along with anybody. But Randy would do some stuff on horses when he was younger, not when he got older. But that was crazy, you know. But until he finally learned his craft, when he finally done that, then you could see the rider. You could see he could ride. He just needed to learn his craft. But what a great person. He's going to be missed.
We need to take a commercial break. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Our special guest for this first part of the segment is Hall of Fame jockey Eddie Delahousie. We'll continue after this.
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
And it's a run for the roses as fast as you can.
Our guest this evening on Five Guys Stories and Lies is Eddie Delahousie, who won the Kentucky Derby in 1982 aboard Gato del Sol, and in 83 aboard Sonny's Halo, won the 88 Preakness Stakes and the 88 and 92 Belmont Stakes. And we are here tonight to talk racing with Eddie. About Eddie, and also about, of course, Randy Romero.
Well, before we go too far, that song, you remember when you came home and that song played? Remember that big reception?
Mm-hmm.
It still gives me chills to this day when I hear that song. He came home after winning the Kentucky Derby to New Iberia, and the city threw a big reception for him. And afterward, after all the talking and everything, the first song that they played was that. And I'm telling you, everybody got chills. I know you remember it. And every time I hear it since, You know, I think of Eddie. I get chills when I hear that song.
The mayor of, at that time, if I'm not mistaken, was Bobby Bonet. If I'm not mistaken,
he
passed away a couple years ago. And I seen him when I came back from California, and he's the one actually set that up. I mean, he was the one that really put that together.
I
had thanked him back then, and I thanked him when I came back home to live. Five years ago.
Great touch.
Bobby, you had something?
Yeah, Eddie. Yeah. What race were you involved in that you look back on and you say, man, I wish I would have won this one? Do you ever do that?
You have one? And what he's asking,
race?
Is there one that got away?
That's probably quite a few of them that got away. But, you know, the Arlington Million, I just got beat a nose in that race. Mm. And I never could get a real good mount after that, you know. I didn't ride that many times in the Arlington Million, but I would have liked to won that. And naturally, the first on Risen Star, the Derby. You know, I ran third in the Derby, and we came back and won the next two. So if we'd have won that, it would have been a nice triple crown.
Been the trifecta, yeah.
You know. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be.
Didn't you say at one point Risen Star was the best horse you ever rode?
Well, him and AP Andy probably.
AP
Andy is probably the best royal bred horse I've ever ridden that achieved his goals. And Risen Star was the next best horse I ever rode.
You know, and we can't ask Randy, of course, but he might have picked a personal ensign for himself. He won the Breeders' Cup, won the Distaff.
Well, yeah, I ran third. Undefeated. I ran third in it. I ran third on a little, I can't think of that filly's name, but she wasn't no higher than 14 hands. She was a little bitty thing, and she ran third. She ran a hell of a race. And at the head of Winning Colors was the other filly she beat.
Yeah.
And at the head of the stretch, I thought, I'm laying second, and I knew Personal Ensign would be coming from behind. And at the eight pole, I said, man, I don't hear her yet. I think I still have a shot. But here she came. But I couldn't even get by Winning Colors, so I wound up
Randy rode her
every race, I think.
All but one. I think he ran.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I read the story, like 15 out of 16.
Well,
they won them all, but he rode her 15 of the 16 times she raced, something like that. And there was only one time he didn't ride her, according to the
racing
form.
Yeah, I got you.
But, yeah, they won every race.
Did you ever get the opportunity to see Secretariat run?
Just on TV.
Oh, just on TV?
Yeah. But I did go see him at the farm at Clay Barnes when he was standing at stud. So I got a chance to pet him and stuff like that.
Is that the greatest racehorse of all time?
I'd have to say so. He was amazing. The only other horse that there's only other two real good horses that I like that won the triple. Well, one almost won the Triple Crown. Seattle Slough won the Triple Crown, and I thought he was another as great, not as great as Secretariat, but I'd put him right in the back.
Yeah.
Then another horse named Spectacular Bid. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing horse, too. When Shoemaker won the Santa Anita Handicap on him, that it was in the mud that day, he exploded. I was on a horse called Relaunch for Glen Hill Farms, and they told me, just let him roll. I opened up 10 lengths on these horses. I said, you sure you want to do this? Let him roll. So I opened up. I let him do his thing. But by the time we hit the half-mile pole, they were already lapped on me. And I seen the mud coming at me. But Spectacular Bid, he blew by me. Shoe was on, and he just blew by me. And here, I forget who was this other horse that ran second, but Spectacular Bid, he had three gears. When he hit the head of the stretch, he moved. When he hit the 316 pole, he moved again. When he hit the 8th pole, he moved again. He was amazing that day.
You brought up Santa Anita Derby. Why are all the horses dying out there?
Like I said earlier, too many veterinarians, and they hide all of that, and they don't want to talk about the vets. Nobody blames the vets. They're the ones that administrate that. People hire them. They should know better than to give it to the horses. Wouldn't you think? They have their license. They have the knowledge. And if I'm a vet and I got a high school education, I mean, a horseman, a trainer, I depend, yeah, on the vet. But if I'm a real horseman, I know what they need and they don't need. And like I said earlier, there's more promoters than horsemen anymore. So, in 1993, I told that to a guy in Seattle, Washington, a reporter.
So you don't blame the track at all?
No.
Or the condition of it?
No. If stop and think about it. If the track's so bad, why are the riders not complaining? That's their neck on the line.
Never thought of that.
I rode for 40 years, and if we didn't like that track, we told them we wouldn't ride. And I rode on some tracks back in the 80s where they didn't seal it, and it was deep, uneven, and I'll tell you what, it would get hairy at times.
What were the tracks locally like?
Here?
Yeah.
Basically, sandy loam, you never had any problems. And we used to run $1,500 claimers with an ankle that big and a knee that big. You could step on the ankle, step on the knee, and step on that back. And they never broke down. Now, tell me what's going on.
Jeez.
Now, if anybody from California hears this or whatever, I'll get blasted, but I don't care. I love the game. I hate to see what's happening to the game right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we can make that a whole show.
You know. It's crazy.
Listen, before we get too far along, because we were talking about Randy. And I was hoping that Nathan Granger would have called in, he told a story about Randy and the All-American Futurity, which I thought was something special. He said he started a speech. I said, we're going to go back to 1975. He said, Labor Day weekend, 1975, I can remember it like it was yesterday. He said, my whole family was gathered around in the living room watching our black and white TV. And he said, my dad was yelling at my son, my brother, who was holding the rabbit ears. Everybody can remember that if you're that far back. Go back. Go to the right, raise your arm this way. And he said, we were watching a fuzzy, and we were watching All-American Futurity and the ERAS favorite son, Randy Romero. And he said, I remember Randy losing, finishing third. If you saw Casey Saddle, you would have figured he won. But anyway, finishing third, he said, I fell on the fourth line. And he said, my daddy came up to me and he said something poignant. He said, I can't list you five things in my life that my daddy told me that will point you, but this was one of them. Son, if you work hard and dream big, anything is possible. You just saw it.
We will be back to wrap up this segment with Eddie Delahousie on Five Guys Stories and Lies right after this.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
.7060111, that's your number at the studios. Eddie Delahousie, Hall of Fame writer, is with us for just a couple of more minutes. I think somebody brought up Casey Shadow a little bit earlier. Did everybody see that? Do you remember that?
You never saw that? Oh, it was a great show. Walter Matthau.
It was filmed about a mile from where I'm living now.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Casey Shadow was based on Lloyd Romero, Randy's father, and his family. And I think probably the older son was loosely based on Randy. I'm guessing. Yeah,
the jockey was because he rode, what is it, Magic Rocket or Rocket Magic? Rocket's Magic in All-American Futurity. And, so it was inspired by that whole story. But I think in Casey Shadow, Rocket's Magic won, didn't he?
Yes.
And in real life, we finished third. So,
well, let's not get real life get in the way of a good story.
Well, that's what always happens, you know. They said that was, in fact, I keep saying Nathan Granger, he said, after watching that, that inspired me to become a jockey. Now, if you know Nathan's a big man.
Big man.
He was like, after that, he said, every young boy in Erath would jump on the on the side of the sofa on the
and
grab a stick and hit the side of the sofa, and you know, they all wanted to be Randy Romero.
We are all so old. Casey's Shadow was made 51 years ago.
Really?
That long?
Yes.
You know, Don, I met Martha Matthau. We had done a commercial for Hollywood Park, and Martha came to the set, and this was before Casey's Shadow. But then I met him later on. He loved the races. He loved horses. Loved the game. But he came, and I talked to him about that. How did you enjoy it? He said, Eddie, I love being in the Cajun country. He said, I felt so at home, and the food was great. But talk about a down-to-earth guy. I couldn't believe it.
I misspoke. It's 41 years ago. But that's still we're still really old.
Yeah, Bruce, you can find that on Netflix, I bet.
But, if you want to look but Walter, I need to get on Netflix, don't I?
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
Eddie, we can't thank you enough for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, and we'll tell more stories. Like I said a little while ago, just call me anytime. We'll do some more.
You'll be back. We'll do this again. We'll do this again.
I'm retired, so... unless my wife tells me.
Yeah, if Juanita tells me something, he's going to do it.
I got to do it.
He's going to do it.
But it's nice meeting you gentlemen, too, all of y'all.
I know you've got. Yeah. I know you're busy in that retirement schedule. Why lie? He's blowing us off to go play Blu-ray. If I had the opportunity, I'd do it, too.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
What a fitting ending for this interview. I'm going to play Blu-ray from Eddie De La Russa.
Hey, yeah, I'm back home. I'm back home. Didn't play that in California.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Oh, I'm going to walk him to the door. Okay.
Clint, why don't you play just like a quickie? So you can get a little, maybe a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, we got time.
I know we got time, but I don't have anybody. They've all left.
They've all left except him. Well, we got Tommy. He's making the transition over to his chair.
What? Put your earphones on. You'll find out, huh?
Put the cans on. I was saying Tom was making the transition over to his chair after kind of giving it up for our guy, Eddie Dalhousie.
Oh, are we still on?
Oh, we're live, pal.
Oh, well.
That curse word you said just a moment ago?
I didn't say a curse word.
That went over.
I didn't say a curse word.
That went over the air.
Curse in the air. I thought you were taking a commercial break, but I was asking Eddie. Secretary had someone that raced in the Triple Crown races. I'm not saying they won. I thought it was Seattle Slough, but he said no, it wasn't.
What are you talking about?
Secretariat, one of his... What would you call him? His fillies or his foals or whatever? That he had a horse that from the breeding farm that ran in one of the Triple Crown races.
I don't remember.
It was Risen
what
Star
that
was Secretariat.
It was Risen Star?
Yeah, Risen Star was the son of Secretariat.
Okay, see, I knew there was.
Okay.
I just got it mixed up. I thought it was Seattle Slough, but it was Risen Star. Well, that's why Risen Star was so good.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, no, that stuff I know.
Yeah. Secretariat did not put out very many great winners.
No, but Risen Star should have been a Triple Crown winner. I think Eddie got caught up in traffic in that Kentucky Derby. It was a big, big field. And after that, he blew away the competition the rest of the way. And that was a heck of a year, too.
But I remember Spectacular Bid, and I remember Risen Star. You know, we used to get into it, man. We used to gather to see the Triple Crown races,
sure.
You know, I mean, it was a big thing. I don't know how big it is now, other than for the people involved.
A bunch of friends
in it,
that would get a table,
you know,
upstairs at Evangeline Downs, and we put 10 or 12 there, and we, you know, you could, at that time, still bet on the races at Churchill Downs. You could do it from Evangeline Downs. Now, of course, it's no big deal. Back then, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it's the same way with boxing. I mean, now it's MMA. I mean, all the younger crowd gets together, watch those MMA fights and stuff like that. But true boxing, they don't get the crowds they used to.
No.
Horse racing doesn't get the crowds they used to. So, I mean, there's a lot of sports that are dying out, you know. And like Eddie said, I don't think we talked about it on air, about Santa Anita. Like you said, that's a $1 billion piece of property. He wouldn't be surprised if that was sold. You know, when the original owners...
Oh, I think he's expecting it to be sold.
That's the way it sounded.
I think the owner right now is, like you said, in his 80s.
Yeah.
And the kids are standing by, and from reports, they don't much care about horse racing. They want to see what they can do with $1 billion worth of property.
Yeah.
And who can blame them?
Yeah, I'd like to see what
I'll tell you what, and I know Don's going to hammer me for this, but I don't care how big of a man you are or how tough of a guy you think you are. If you don't if you watch the call of Secretariat's Belmont and don't get a tear in your eye, you're not human. You know, that is incredible the way that horse
I don't know about a tear, but it does give you a chill.
Oh,
it
my
does
goodness.
Give you a chill when you watch that thing.
It's like watching a movie.
How many people
like made it up?
How many people were standing in front of their television sets at that race hoping that Secretariat won the Triple Crown and just their jaws just dropped as he just increased his lead all the way around the track? Yeah. That was incredible.
What is it? It's, Belmont's a mile and a half.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He was faster
each quarter.
Each quarter.
Yeah.
If he ran the opening quarter in like 23-1, he ran the second one in 22.6, and then 22, and then 21 something, and faster in each quarter.
And he wasn't on the lead at the beginning. He was in the middle of the pack at the beginning.
Didn't they find out later when he died that he had an abnormally large heart, mm-hmm. and that was mm-hmm. the reason why?
That's what I had.
And that was the deal with Lance Armstrong. They said that was the reason that he was so good at biking is because he had an abnormally large heart, because it supplies the body with more oxygen, and so you have that much more stamina. But in this particular case, I mean, that was just, I mean, that just wasn't real.
Now they all saw you gotta have heart. Miles and miles and miles. You don't remember that?
That's why you get so damn tired, huh?
Wow.
You got to have heart.
That's true. That's true.
Did Maravich have the same situation?
No, he had a valve problem, a CD or something like that.
Wait, who's this?
Pete Maravich.
Pistol Pete.
Yeah, it was. I believe it was a defect he had in his heart.
It's a defective heart, and how it didn't show up early and nobody knows.
Yeah.
You know, but not, it wasn't an enlarged heart.
He played his career with that problem.
Yeah.
It eventually killed him at what, 39?
40.
Incredible.
Did he get to 40? I thought it was 39. Okay.
He's another incredible athlete.
Yeah, he was 40. 1988 was when he passed away, born in 47.
Yeah. What, he was at a clinic or something?
No, he's playing
pickup game.
Pickup game, yeah. Yeah, and it just, I mean, what a tragedy. I have a lot of those in the world, but yeah.
I remember the year he went in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, just one of the meals during the day, during that weekend. He was over there by himself at a little table, a little two-person table, having a big salad, you know, just eating properly and all this other good stuff. He was.
Well, you know what the deal is with that I've learned over the years, though, whenever you see an athlete like that, the reason for that is not so much that there are a couple of jerks who don't want anybody to be around, but part of the reason is people are afraid to approach them.
Sure they are.
Of course.
Look, I remember years ago we had, you might remember this, Bruce, probably in the early 80s, we had a sports convention. You remember it because you remember the tape. Weren't you there when Larry King gave that speech?
I taped the whole thing. Yeah.
And I remember Larry King going out by the pool by himself, and I watched him sit out there, and I wanted to go talk to him. And sat out there, and people would pass. And found out later, I'd ask people, like, man, how come nobody? They're like, man, you don't go talk to somebody like that. See, back then I didn't, but today, see, I'd have no problem.
In South Louisiana, you would.
Yeah.
You do not go talk to someone and interrupt their lunch or their family time. You don't do that. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in that. But in your case, King sitting out by the pool?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It should be open game there.
Do you still have that tape? One of the greatest tapes?
No, I know it. I know it.
I can't believe you got rid of it.
I didn't get rid of anything. It got lost in a move
along
with every other tape that I'd ever had of broadcasting a game.
Look, you don't speak highly of a lot of stuff, but I remember you for years remembering that particular speech that he gave because it was incredible.
Great storyteller.
To say Don is negative?
It was like a stand-up comic.
Great
routine.
Storyteller.
Yeah. Oh, look, if he was telling the truth, the people he grew up with was unbelievable.
Sandy Koufax, for a start.
Yeah.
You know, one of his buddies.
Yeah.
And he would tell stories about there, and I think there were a couple of other names, and
of movie stars and stuff. Yeah. You know, the guys that would hang under the light pole like you see on the Jersey Boys. You know?
I don't think Pesci, but it was somebody like that.
Mm. No, who was Pesci? Pesci was with, what's his name, the singer?
Frankie Valli. Yeah.
Yeah, Pesci, that's what he said, the little guy in the movie or the play. Mm-hmm. He said, you never guess who that wound up being. Joe Pesci. And yes. He was like, holy mackerel. Yes. Yeah, the one they all wanted to get rid of. Like, get out the way, man.
No, it was a great afternoon of storytelling. Because, you know, sports writers are pretty jaded, as you guys all well know. He had him in the palm of his hand.
Oh, my God.
He had him in the palm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember the only reason we got him is because supposedly he got his start in Shreveport. Or one of his first gigs was in Shreveport. Then when he was in New York, he was on his way to cover the baseball All-Star game in Houston. And somebody knew him and called him and said, hey, we're having our convention, you know, like on the weekend before. Why don't you come and be a part of it? And that's how we got him to the convention. And he was by far the best speaker to ever come to our convention.
We've got football and more to talk about. In fact, we'd love to hear from you guys out there. 706-0111, that's your number on the Ardco Equipment Hotline. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We'll be back.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
I don't think we've said anything politically incorrect tonight, have we?
Not yet.
One month from now.
What a dull show.
We have plenty of time for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, whenever you have Eddie Delahousie on, sometimes the politically incorrect stuff gets pushed to the side a little bit.
Start over with that entire thought.
Yeah, there we go. Good point.
All right, he got you.
I got boomed on that one. I'll take it.
Oh, wait. Okay, so he starts off getting me, then he gets Tom, comes back to me. Now he got you.
I'll take this L.
Bruce and Bobby are waiting. It's coming.
Bruce is fine. Bruce is like a week and a half away from being T-boned. I'm not getting on Bruce for anything.
So Bobby's next.
Bruce hasn't moved since he's been in that chair because it might hurt his rib.
On the other hand,
that's a subtle dig.
Bruce got to go rent a car, right? What did he get? A Corolla. Bruce, what are you doing?
I was driving a Corolla when I got hit.
Well, you didn't have to get one.
You didn't have to get a Corolla.
No, you could have got an SUV if you'd have wanted.
I'll get a Mustang.
Yeah.
Or a
yellow one.
Yeah.
I'm still blurry from the accident.
A Corolla.
Who rents a Corolla? Bruce,
is that what you
It's red.
And y'all talk about me leading a protected life.
At least it's red.
What?
Are you going to... You're going to have to buy a new car, right?
Yes,
you're
I am.
One, so
don't get a Corolla.
Wait. Let's take this slowly.
Okay.
What are you considering to buy?
Crosstrek.
Subaru
Crosstrek.
That would be an excellent buy on your
good car.
Subarus are good cars.
BMW
all-wheel drive.
BMW
2 Series.
Bruce, don't do that, man. Don't do that.
It's a little on the small
side
for you, Bruce.
The maintenance is going to kill you, Bruce.
Yeah, that's why I'm very leery of the
change the battery.
The overseas cost there. Change the battery is $2,000.
Yeah.
Bruce, I love that car though. It's
good car. Good car.
Bruce, after getting in a wreck, why wouldn't you want a bigger car? Why wouldn't you want something that if they hit you, you might not even feel it? Why don't you go get you a SUV?
I don't like big cars.
On 86.
I like maneuverability.
You can maneuver a big car.
Yeah.
I can maneuver mine.
Bruce, you just start earlier on that turn.
Maybe I should have started earlier.
Okay.
All right. Subaru, that was a nice thought.
Well, we just want to make sure it wasn't a Corolla in there.
No, I think I'm about done with that for now.
Good.
No any flashbacks.
But let me get back to the original question.
Yes.
They probably gave you a choice on what you'd like to rent.
No.
Why did you? No, they didn't.
They said,
here, have this Corolla and use this one.
Well, the insurance company's going to pick the cheapest one.
No, they're gonna give him a compact car because that's what he had was a compact car, but it didn't have to be a Corolla. I mean,
what's wrong with the Corolla?
You want to take a poll? You want to go around the table and find out?
Hey.
I think it's a good car.
I came here in a Corolla, but it's...
Yeah, but you got to buy five cars.
No, I don't. I have three.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I don't know, Bruce. I used to work and sell Hondas, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to get a smaller car like that, yeah. I'd jump up and say Civic. The Civic.
Yeah. I had a Civic before.
Yeah.
He got hit, too.
Huh? Maybe it's not the car.
No,
Bruce.
It's probably not the car. May not be the car.
Well, we're just glad that you survived it and everything's
turned anyway,
well.
That's why we're not picking on Bruce.
Now, well, Bobby, we're not, but I mean, you...
Bobby, I don't know yet.
Hey, Bobby's here. Still we should be grateful.
Yeah. There's no meeting in St. Andrew Parish tonight.
I actually skipped a political forum tonight to
wow.
come here.
Well, that's nice.
I bet you that would have been exciting.
No, but there was no choice there.
What political forum was it, Bobby?
St. Andrew Parish candidates. But it was a Democratic Party forum, which meant that if you weren't a Democratic candidate, then you could go to the forum, but they weren't going to let you speak.
Well, that's real nice, though.
That's Democratic.
So, what's the use of having a forum?
What was the point? Yeah, what was the
point? Well, I missed one, I guess, 2 weeks ago when I came here, and one of the Democratic candidates got up. Well, he's the president now of the parish NAACP. And he ran for mayor several elections ago, and he stood up and he blamed the Daily World for causing him to lose the election.
In other words, he blamed
because
you.
Because you are the Daily World.
Yes.
We ran a story, I guess, which...
What do you mean you guess?
I wasn't working for them then. I was with the Advocate then. But I remember the story, and, you know... The Daily World didn't cause you to lose an election. People just didn't vote for you.
That's how that usually works.
But it was a Democratic forum, and if you weren't a Democrat, you couldn't speak, right?
Correct. But you could go and pass
listen.
Out your literature.
And know. Listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a real fair game.
Okay, you passed on that to be with us tonight, and we greatly appreciate it.
Yes,
that.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, no. I didn't pass on it. I darn sure wasn't going. So there was no passing. This was
doesn't that
first
mean
choice.
Passing, Bruce?
Is there a difference
here?
Is there a difference here? I'm working on the grammar here.
Apparently it's translation and Opelousas.
I don't know.
No, this was first choice.
Well, there you go. That's the way to salvage.
No, it's true. I mean, right. this
should have been. It should have been.
St. Leonard Parish getting too much attention.
Didn't
right
pass
now.
On it. Just didn't go.
Look.
Hey, how about them Saints?
No, wait, before.
No, we're not getting into the Saints till the next hour.
Did you see this?
See what?
Yeah.
Falk returns to LCA staff.
I told y'all really? That was going to happen. I told y'all that was going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Who wrote that?
Foot wrote that. But this was in the Advertiser Sunday. And
so what's the story?
Nobody knows.
No
all,
comment.
All I know is that him and Coach Rogers were reinstated.
They were just reinstated?
As it says here, as volunteer coaches.
Okay, but, so he's not head coach now. He's a volunteer coach.
But you know what the LHSAA did? Because there's some schools that got notices that some of their coaches that acted as head coaches were listed as assistant coaches. They got the same punishment as him. One in particular is not going to appeal it. And
which one?
And remember what I said when it happened? I said that if I'm LCA, I go up to them and say, you're picking on me. I can give you a dozen other schools just in Acadiana doing the same thing.
Maybe
and you're picking on
that.
Me. And I guarantee you that's what they did. But now they're coming back, and they're coming back against some of those other schools, from what I understand. And a couple of those coaches have been suspended because they were volunteer coaches acting as head coaches. And, I mean, everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. But anyway, bottom line is Trevor's back on the field. He was in the press box Friday night.
So those other coaches will file a lawsuit and be back on staff.
Some of them won't
week.
Do it. No, but it's LCA's. LCA's got the grit to push it. Some of those schools
are. Is that what you call it, grit?
Yeah, because we're on the air. And Don said I couldn't say what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham is using that defense, by the way. Why is everybody always picking on me?
Yeah, right.
We'll talk about that on the other side of the hour. Along with the Saints, along with the Cajuns, along with the Tigers, along with a lot of other stuff. Football, Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Don Allen, Glenn Quibido, Tom Brown, Bobby Ardwin, and Bruce Brown, and Clint Domingue, our wizard behind the curtain. We'll be back after this.
Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. We were talking during the break. Actually, we were speaking of some high school football. And that really strange off-planet game where Eunice beat Northwest 70-something to 30-something and went into the fourth quarter trailing and then scored 42 points in the span of 9 minutes. Bobby was talking about some of the plays where Northwest managed to set the sport back several decades.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that. Tell me about that snap from center again.
Oh, it traveled quite a distance. It almost went into orbit, and Eunice managed to pounce on it in the end zone.
Wait.
Where was the ball? That's what.
It was around the 40. I mean, and it just.
And the snap went into the end zone.
Into the end zone.
With no help, no kicks.
One of the dangers of the shotgun or the pistol formation,
no,
right?
They were not punting. It was an actual.
Well, no,
shotgun.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't kick the ball into the end zone trying to pick it up.
Oh, heck no.
It sailed from the 40-yard line and wound up in the end zone. That's not a shotgun. That's a cannon formation is what that is, man.
I mean, I've never heard of it. I've never seen a quarter like this. And as I was telling you guys, I first started covering high school in 72 in a consistent fashion, and I've never have seen a game or a quarter like that. I mean, it was just incredible. I mean, in a span of maybe not much more than 9 minutes.
Was it at Eunice?
No, it was at Northwest.
Oh, my goodness.
And the bugs were – and then after the game, the Northwest coach was telling me, he said, I looked up at the press box, and he said, all the windows were open. He said, I shut the windows – last night and turned the air conditioner on, and I see y'all up in the, I mean, it was a bug a second while you were trying to do your play-by-play.
Coach, you needed to be watching the field more and not the press box.
No, he didn't want to see what was going on, especially late in the game.
I saw the replay of, it was some college game, and I don't know, it was probably ESPN or something like that, a replay, and they were playing really like dumb plays, and the team went out into the shotgun formation. The guy's calling signals, and the quarterback doesn't realize he's standing behind the guard.
Yep.
Takes the snap from center, and it goes right by him toward the end zone. I've never seen that before.
He pulled to John Elway. His rookie year, Elway went lined up behind the guard.
Well, I can believe that more than I can believe a snap going from the 40-yard line into the end zone.
Kid's got potential, though, as a deep snapper.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Or some school somewhere.
Heck with that, put him in center field.
Hell, I'd put him at quarterback.
Okay. Have y'all been paying attention to the latest Odell Beckham thing?
No, I try not to.
This is great. He has a Swiss watch.
Oh, yeah, the $50 watch or $500 watch?
Oh,
more
you must
like
be
$50,000 watch.
He paid $189,500 for it. It retails for about $300,000.
Okay.
I looked it up online to, you know, find out everything I could about it. And Beckham said yesterday, I'll still be wearing it during the game the same way I wear it every day. I go to practice wearing it, take a shower with it on. It's just on me. Now, the NFL has come out and said while the league has no rules prohibiting jewelry, it does have a policy prohibiting hard objects. Want to hear Beckham's response? Beckham said about the I'm not sure on the pronunciation of it, but again, very famous and expensive Swiss timepiece producer. He said that the watch is plastic and weight shouldn't be an issue. I have looked at the specs for this watch. Odell, I've got some news for you. Ain't no plastic.
He paid $189,000 for a plastic watch.
No, it has a lot of titanium.
Is that why they were saying that Bill Gates wears a $50 watch?
Could be.
I heard on the radio today they were talking about Bill Gates wearing a $50 watch. And that's probably why, because they were probably thinking, look at this guy.
It does have a rubber band, you know, the watch band itself, and it's orange. So I can see why Beckham's got it. Fits in very nicely with the team's colors.
Great color coordination there. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's titanium, and there is no plastic. Now, Millet's watches are known for their lightness. Very, very light. You can spend more than what he spent, by the way, if you want to get one of their watches. They've got one that retails.
I don't think there's anybody in this room that's going to be getting one of those
watches. $1.7 million.
Did you ever
for
see
a watch?
For a watch.
Yeah, but you know what?
Lord.
I know what that is.
It's got an emerald. It's either emerald or sapphire. Is the watch face.
But you're saying I know why it costs so much, though. They got their hands on. You ever see those films? They found the UFO at Roswell, and they had the stuff that they would crumble up, and then they would let it go, and it would go right back to its original form, and it was not bent or anything.
It's called aluminum foil.
Aluminum foil doesn't go back to its original shape, man.
Score one for Tom.
Tom got one here. It comes from Area 51, but only in rain does aluminum foil go back to its original condition, which is completely flat. I didn't know that, so I'm gonna have to shop in rain. I didn't know they had that kind of stuff. Jeez, we got a phone call.
Yeah, we got Bill online. Let's talk to you guys.
Bill, what can we do for you?
Oh, man, can you get my name out of Phil?
Well, you know, I'm blaming that on you-know-who.
Hey, man, if you listen to this show, you know that's how. Okay.
Okay, Phil, what you got, Phil?
Well, I figured it was time to pester you guys. I hadn't done it in a while, but I was wondering, does anybody get a good chuckle on Will Lutz's response when he said, oh, yeah, I knew it was going in.
Oh, yeah.
58 yards.
He's a kicker. He lives in another world. That kick would have been gone, would have been good from 65 plus.
No, it would have been good from 60.
No, 60. I'd say 60. No, the one I like was Breeze. I didn't see it. I just heard it. And that thunderous kick, I knew it was through. How the hell you know it's through? Because of the sound.
He didn't, but it sounds
good. Oh, it sounds good, and everybody ate it up. It's like, good.
I'll just hate the Saints to be successful.
Oh, geez, here we go.
It was a fun game, wasn't it, Phil?
It was a fun game. It was. And, in fact, it was so fun when the Texans took the lead, I turned it off. I'm thinking, no way. No way.
Oh, they left Drew too much time.
Oh, I'm thinking, no way.
That's brutal, man.
They left Drew too
that's
much
brutal.
Time. That was the difference.
Oh, wow. Hey, you didn't turn it off for LSU Texas, did you?
The LSU game?
Yeah.
I caught the last minute of it, I think.
Oh, because
I got back from the UL game after when the LSU game was finishing up.
Phil, congratulations. You're one of 323 people that went.
Nah, man. I know you have an animus towards UL, Don, so that's okay, man.
Boy, Phil's been listening for sure.
Okay. Correct. And there was 17,000.
Okay, listen, Phil.
Hey,
Phil,
I got another one for you.
Yeah.
What's that, man?
Between
No, I got another one. Go ahead. Between you and me, Don. Go ahead, man.
Between you and me, how many people do you think were there?
I would say 20 or so, and 20,000 or so, and that probably has to do with LSU playing at the same time.
I thought I read 17-7.
Yeah, the official. The official
okay. 17, 17, all right.
17. Well, he's
close. Give or take 3,000 or
there
so.
There you go. There you go.
Did you get a $1 hot dog?
Here you go. I got a $3 burger. $3 burger.
Okay.
And
that works.
Like a fistful of dollars, you know.
I got you. So, what else you got?
Don's been trying to get me to be a hot dog guinea pig, so I'm buying a hot dog at the game this week, and I'm bringing it to you.
You eat everything else.
You're our food critic. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, they're usually friendly now at the concession stands at the games because people complain so much about the prices that they got two menus. They got one for the cheapo food, and then they have the one to supersize, you know, like supersize me, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, on the other note, I just was listening to some responses about what Marcus Lawrence did that little guy wanted an autograph. And I think it's not so much just Demarcus Lawrence, but just some of the mentality of some of the athletes that were defending him. And I was of the mindset that a lot of these guys, I'm not saying all of them, I think Dak's not one of those guys, but a lot of these guys think that the game is just for them rather than if there weren't anybody in the stands, there would be no games or no multi-million dollar paychecks. So I don't think these guys really, I think they think they're bigger than the game. You get more of what I'm saying here? I just wonder what you guys thought about it.
I understand what you're saying, Phil. We'll talk about it, all right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good deal, man.
Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Phil. You
good hearing from you.
Huh?
Good hearing from Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, all you got to do is look at Odell Beckham, what you just got finished talking about. I mean, yeah, they do think they're bigger than the game. It's not that unusual, unfortunately. Yeah, the good thing is there's still a lot of good ones out there who'll take the time.
Then you see someone like, and I'm just picking someone like an Aaron Judge, someone like, you know, and we could name NFL players, too,
right.
Will stay there and do autograph after autograph after autograph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's unfortunate that somebody like Lawrence gets the headlines for it.
Yeah.
I mean, what bigger satisfaction could you have than have a bunch of kids wanting your autograph and adults wanting your autograph? People want your autographs. I mean, anybody ever asked you for one?
Yeah.
Oh, they did. Oh, they did. Oh, that's right.
You want to hear the story? No. You want to hear the story?
No, we don't want to hear the story.
I'll tell you the story.
Right after he threw the po' boys out the press box.
No.
Put my name on it.
I must have been 20-something playing a band, and we played in New Orleans. We played at some little private school dance. And afterwards, it shocked the heck out of us. You know, it really did. Afterwards, we had these girls coming up asking for autographs. So it did happen to me, but it happened about 50-something years ago.
Yeah, but when you're in a band, Donna, aren't they supposed to give you their phone number, not ask you for your autograph?
You have no idea how naive we were.
They probably thought y'all were the grassroots or somebody like that.
The dead roots.
Yeah, the dead roots, yeah.
Grand Funk Railroad, you know, something
grass
like that.
Grass weeds or something like that. But that is the only time I'd ever been asked for an autograph, back when I was in a band.
And you did it, so.
Sure.
Know, and I'm sure it's in a trash can in some
landfill
out there.
I doubt that anybody held on to it. And if they did, I'm pretty sure Katrina blew it away.
Yeah.
Anyway, how about you guys? Autographs?
Autographs.
Playoffs. Playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yeah, playoffs.
I have no idea.
What was his name? Jim Mora.
Yep. More.
Yeah. They ask about the playoffs at a press conference.
Looking for the playoffs.
Playoffs? They're trying to win a game, you know?
Yeah. Are we going to talk about air conditioner, gate, and all that stuff when we come back? Predictions. Who got it right last week? Me and you got the Saints wrong.
I have no idea. Did Tom actually write it all down?
Tom has a notebook that he designed.
Okay.
It has all the
pieces. Right. We heard enough. That's enough.
So we've got everything everyone said.
Okay. We'll get to the notebook in just a moment.
All right.
Clint's
about to fall asleep.
Staring daggers at us. We need to take a break. Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We'll continue in a moment.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
We got Don, Bobby, Bruce, Glenn, Tom, and the Beatles. Don't you cut it off too? Cause
speaking of autographs,
what? Yeah, yeah, they gave out a few.
Yeah, there were a few.
What do you think about selling autographs? Oh, never mind. I don't care.
I wouldn't buy one. All that memorabilia stuff.
Yeah,
because I mean, all the stories that I've heard, you know, like baseball players giving a case of balls to the ball boy and say, here, sign my name,
right,
and all that stuff. So, I mean, I wouldn't know which one. The only ones, and I have some from, you know, from my careers, and but I watch them sign them, you know, Eddie Robinson, Ron Guidry, and those kind of guys. But I stood there and watched them write it, so I know those are legit. But as far as for people that go online and buy them, or, you know, you go to some place like a memorabilia shop, I wouldn't trust that stuff.
It's a cottage industry.
I know, and I'm amazed at the people that buy that stuff. You know, I wouldn't buy them.
Phil accused me of having some animus toward UL.
I think that was a word he used.
Phil, I think that was a good word. Yeah.
Well, I think it's probably a little bit accurate, Phil. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke over it.
Here we go.
There's a little bit of accuracy.
Touch the nerve. Touch the nerve.
Here, let me tell you why.
Shifting into overdrive.
This is why the media is on its second week of the press hunger strike.
Yeah. Bruce went to the press conference Monday.
I did.
The week before, they served no food. And, correct, you know, Bruce and Bobby are the only ones that go to this, you know. We're not out anything, Glenn, Tom, and I. We're not out anything if we don't go, you know. But we also worked for the media, covering UL for anywhere from 20 to 40 years, you know. So you kind of raise an eyebrow when they do something like this, and you wonder what the marketing people can possibly be thinking of. Now, I had heard last week that Billy Napier was told that no one fed, and he raised an eyebrow at that, and I automatically thought that's going to be changed this week. Bruce, was it changed?
Apparently there was no pull involved in Coach Napier raising an eyebrow. That didn't move anyone over there.
Okay.
So we're 0 for whatever on 0 for 3 now.
11:30 to 1 o'clock, did you get the volleyball coach and the track and whatever?
Girls, women's soccer.
Women's soccer.
And volleyball spoke and told folks how their seasons are going.
Well, I watched the volleyball game last night, and we had food at the volleyball game, so you're just covering
that's
your
good.
Own
I'm
sport.
Glad for you. there was none provided at the lunch hour for the third straight week. I do wonder what the point is of that.
Well, we all wondered a week ago. You weren't able to be with us, but we all wondered a week ago what was the point of telling the Cajun Chicken to take a hike, you know, so the band and the Raging Jazz could perform more. We all wonder what that thought was, too.
Yeah, you've got the biggest hit in the program's history as far as entertainment.
We can't use you anywhere. Bobby, you're not going to drive 50 miles round trip to not be fed during lunch?
It's definitely not on my radar right now.
So, Phil, you answer to me. What possible good reason could there be to institute this rule?
New regime.
The regime is undivided. Not new. Regime has been there for a couple of years
now. Not this whole new marketing department, huh?
They want your undivided attention at the press conference.
No, but they don't sign any checks.
Yeah, but still.
It's above them.
Yeah, but I mean.
Got to be. I mean.
Are you blaming the athletic director for this?
Well, it's buck stops at the desk.
Somebody had to come up with the idea. I don't know who it was, but.
I don't know. I mean. We'd love to hear why,
Phil Don was right. It's not the food. It's the point of the thing.
It's not the food. I mean, we know where
it's not
to
the
eat.
Food. We big boys. We can go across the street to Dino's or someplace and get something to eat. That's not a problem. That's where you went. No.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
Me and Bruce did that. What
2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, getting a better meal. Yeah, that's for
got,
sure.
Yeah, you got Cane's down the street. You got plenty of food.
Yeah, that's
places.
Not the
that's
point.
Not the point at
that's
all.
The point. Southern hospitality is the point.
It is a bad decision. You cannot make this a good decision.
No.
You're drawing 17,500 on your first home game. 17,500 people on your first home game. You think you're going to draw 25 by having dollar hot dogs? That's not going to pay off for you. And I'll tell you what you need more than anything else is not necessarily to throw a whole lot of money at the advocate and the advertiser for these big spreads, and the spreads are really nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, you shoot a lot of that down with your in-house music. That's what the players want. You know, the players aren't buying the tickets.
Yeah.
You better do things for the fans.
And you kind of like your players to concentrate on the game.
Yeah, it's entirely too loud.
Rather than the music's on the box, wouldn't you, most of the time?
What a novel thought.
You're just throwing out an idea there. You know what do we care what they want to dance to?
It's a bad idea.
Well, you know, it's like they don't want us there.
Us. We're an imposition.
Meaning the media?
Yeah, media. It's like they don't.
Yeah, but you used to be relevant before ESPN and cable TV. You used to be relevant.
I don't think I was ever relevant.
That was the only way they could get their message across. Now you're irrelevant. Because
but you know what? ESPN and whatever and social media, that, they're not putting the people on the stands.
No kidding. No kidding.
Yeah. Somebody's got to be able to do that, and the marketing department is the way it's going to happen. Well, but I mean, not with the decisions that they're making right now.
Well, again, I must say it again. I just wonder if anybody in Louisiana is smart enough to qualify for a job over there.
And you've got a good point. All of a sudden, there are very few homegrown folks
absolutely
on the staff over there.
And like I told you before, every other college around here, I mean, I know people on those staffs. They're Louisiana people. Over here, there's, I don't know, one or two maybe. You know, I'm talking about in media relations and things like that and publicity and stuff.
McNeese, Bonnet,
Northwestern,
LSU,
Louisiana
Bonnet.
Tech, LSU, all those places, Southeastern. You know, that's all Nichols. I mean, you can go down the line.
Doug Ireland just retired at Northwestern State.
Yeah, and Jason Pugh, who used to work over here.
Yeah.
You know, guess he was good enough to go there. You know, and you know, I don't know any of the staff here. I just know that in the day, everybody knew everybody. Most of the people were from Louisiana, but now you have cable TV, you have social media, and I guess people around here aren't good enough to do the job. I don't know.
So, Phil, you call it animus; we call it something else entirely. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. We've got more to come, including how we did last week on the picks, and we're going to toy around with an over-under on the attendance for this week.
One good thing. Buckley was there the other day.
Still on the air. You realize this, Bruce?
Well, that's good. That's a good thing, though, what he said, though. That's good to hear. Tim Buckley from the Advertiser is back.
Good.
Yes.
Good. I need to get that.
Need to take a break. We'll be back.
Tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
We've got about 30 minutes of the show left, and a reminder, the Ed Orgeron Show will be
along. Go Tigers.
Yeah, go Tigers right after we're through. Let's see. Phil responded, did so in a text to his good buddy Tom. And Phil, all I'm asking is, you do me a favor, Phil.
Oh Lord, here it comes.
You do me a favor, and I'll do you one later.
Don't talk to me about myself in front of my peoples.
I have an offer for you. I'm not going to be able to refuse, Phil. But thanks for joining us on the show, however brief it was.
Oh, we always like Phil.
Yeah.
Okay, over under on the Cajuns, Texas Southern. Go into this a little bit first.
Wait, why don't we go over the results from last week before we jump into this?
No, this is just an over under on the attendance.
Yeah. Oh, on the attendance.
Yeah, on the attendance.
Oh, for UL this week?
Yeah.
Where's LSU playing?
They're playing at home against
Northwestern State.
Let me just set this up a little bit.
Same
Texas
time.
Texas oh, no. Southern comes in.
Here we go.
Bobby, they won 1 or 0-2?
0-2.
0-2. They gave up 63 to Incarnate Word.
No, he wants to rub it in the field. That's why he's doing
it. No, that's not the point at all.
And 44 to Prairie View A&M.
Okay. Coming in. The Cajuns, by the way, are 44-point favorites in this game.
Are they?
Yes. In this game Saturday, they're 44-point favorites.
Goodness sakes.
And what we're going to do is set an over-under on the attendance for the opener. First home game of the year was just 17,500. You cannot sugarcoat that one. Texas Southern's not going to be much of a draw, let's face it. You know, it's still at 6:30. It's still opposite, oh, heaven forbid, the LSU game, you know. They're playing Northwestern. So we're going to put the over-under at 13,000 for Saturday night.
Where'd you get a 44-point favorite? From your bookie or what? Because that's off the board, isn't it?
There's a couple books that do have it as like a 44. I saw one that was like 47 yesterday.
Maybe off your board, Glenn.
No, I'm looking at the AP bet line. And it's not
The newspaper might not have these bets. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, that's from Vito's betting line.
That's right. Okay. So here's the deal.
from Bovada.
Over under on 13,000, Lynn. What do you think?
Who? That's what you said?
I'm just putting it at 13, the over and under.
I'm going to put it to just slide over the crossbar at over.
All right. Tom, what do you got?
Over, because it's going to be paid attendance.
Bobby?
Good point.
Over. I'm saying
it will be reported as over.
Oh, yeah. Might be, too. We're all over, because they will not put an attendance up under that. You will not, even if it is, you will not read an attendance
on. They'll count people that drive by in Congress and, you know, whatever necessary.
You figure all the free.
And you got to hope, my gosh, you got to hope, you know, people turn out a little
bit.
So,
Don, what's your prediction?
Five.
No, I said over.
Okay.
Oh, you said over? Okay. Yeah, it has to be over. I mean, when was the last time we saw one under?
This might be the worst team covering to Cajun Field since maybe Cal State Fullerton or North Alabama, maybe?
North Alabama won.
I know. In what, three overtimes?
I remember that game.
Yeah,
Alabama,
that was a great
won.
Game.
That was the same night that LSU beat number one Florida.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. So miles to go before you sleep.
Yeah, please get over it. Please have people show up this weekend.
This team has been
50-cent hot dogs.
Yeah, this team has been outscored 107-67.
You're talking about Texas Southern.
Yes.
But is the band coming?
I hope so. I plan on being there.
Yeah, that's just. I mean, that. I don't.
So are we picking these games now, or are we just gonna?
No, you're gonna tell us what we did last week.
Oh, okay. Well, everyone was 2-0 on the Cajuns, so you know we're all perfect on the Cajuns.
So everybody picked the Cajuns
picked
over Liberty. Yeah.
So see, we're not being totally negative.
Who came closest to the score, Tom?
Oh, must be Bobby.
What was the score?
31.
And 30, you're keeping track of this?
35-14.
35-14. Well, let's see. I had 35-17.
That's close.
Glenn had 35-14.
Oh!
On the money.
Bruce had 31-18.
13.
So we were all pretty close.
So far.
No.
Yeah. Except for Don, who had 28-21.
Yeah, well, mine was a little closer than I thought it would be. Yeah.
So what are we doing this week, Bobby?
Oh, Lord. I'm saying 44-7.
Okay. You don't think they'll beat the spread? Okay.
I think he has, and Billy Napier's got a chance to maybe play some of those guys that he would like to see further down the road in the season.
Okay. And Bruce?
45-10. Cajuns. Just to clear that up.
All right.
Gotcha.
Don?
63-7.
Yeah.
You beat me.
If that track meet of the backfield gets going.
That's Glenn. What I think is going to happen.
Glenn?
I'm torn.
It's like reading a menu for you, isn't it?
Yeah. I like to think of things.
Wow.
I'm either going to go 24-7.
24. Oh, that better goodness. Be a first quarter
That's a
score.
Joke.
Better
what are you talking about?
Score.
That's a joke. 56-14.
Oh, you see? I'm telling you. I'm about to go get some whiteout because I had already written mine down at 55-14.
Okay, fine.
Well, then why didn't you say it first?
Well,
you're the one that's doing it.
Okay.
What, you want me to change mine?
No,
there's no changing.
No changing.
There's no whiteout.
No
there's
changing.
No changing.
Now, as for the LSU-Texas... And or rather, the LSU two games.
Yeah,
we have four people that are 2-0, and one that is 1-1.
The 1-1.
Does the 1-1 guy want to raise his hand?
Probably me.
No, it's Bobby.
Bobby picked Texas 30-28. So this week it's Northwestern State, Bobby.
We didn't pick a score. No.
You wanted to know? Oh, okay. What was the score?
45-38.
You need to write these down in your notebook.
I didn't write the score. I'll write the scores down for
and
now.
And Tom, you were up in the press box for the Cajuns game. You don't remember that?
I just didn't remember.
Why did he should keep?
He was working.
Okay, well,
bring the notebook.
35-10 from Glenn.
How much?
35 to 10.
Okay.
Wow.
Then everybody else was like 27-17, 24-19, 23-20. Bobby's probably closest, and he had them losing 28-30.
No, I had the
good
most
Good job,
points.
Bobby.
Yeah. I had the most points, so we're good.
No,
so
anyway, no. But,
okay.
No.
I had 35 points.
All right, LSU Northwestern.
Ooh. Orgeron is a Northwestern alum.
Yeah, he's not going to.
So he might kind of chill a little bit on the score. I'm saying 42-14 Tigers.
42-14 Orgeron. The only problem with that is Orgeron's not suiting up. Bruce,
I remember the year UL finally played LSU and Saban was at LSU, and at halftime it was 48-0, and at the end of the game it was 48-0 because Saban pulled off the dog. I'm looking at 48-3.
All right, I'll give mine first this time, Glenn, so you can think
knock
about yours.
Knock yourself out.
LSU 51-3.
That's not a bad score.
All right, Glenn.
I say he's going to rest a lot of people, but I think he's going to let Burrow throw five touchdown passes to keep up his stats. So that's going to be 35 oh, plus a couple of field goals. I'm gonna go 41-7.
All right, Don.
42-3.
42-3.
I like that one too.
Well, you should have picked it then.
All right, that was certainly the most unexciting segment we've had tonight.
Well, no, we still got to do the Saints.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
Three people are unbeaten at 1-0.
Why don't you talk about the Saints first?
And why? Two people picked That's Houston. True. And those two people were the illustrious Don and the also illustrious Glenn.
And one play. We were one play short.
What was the final score of that game?
30-28.
And what score did we pick?
You picked 28-24.
Oh, he was close.
Houston.
Yeah. I know it.
So you can't possibly win since you picked the losing team. Okay.
Tom, he was talking about if you take that 58-yarder away.
Yeah. Bobby had 27-17, Bruce had 31-20, and Tom had 31-24.
What did Don have?
Doesn't matter. You picked the losing team.
What did I have?
35-31.
4-point spread? Okay.
Yeah.
What happened is they left Drew Brees too much time.
Yeah definitely. Yeah.
Scored too quickly.
Definitely.
Yeah, you'll leave him 30 seconds.
Damn officials. They could have taken off some time in the second half if they'd have wanted to.
In the Superdome that night, they would have been shot.
They blew another call, though, and got a correction from the NFL on it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was no harm, no foul. The guy missed a 56-yarder. Oh, well.
Yeah, you see 58-yarders all the time, Tom. I mean, you know,
there's not a kicker in the NFL that can't kick 160.
That's true.
There's not a kicker out there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's because they're putting helium in the balls now.
He nailed it, but like I said earlier, for Drew Brees to say he knew it when he heard the thud, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all.
No, but it sounds good.
Yeah. A lot of bad kicks sound good, too, now.
I've never been on the field when somebody kicked a 58-yarder, so I wouldn't know. But
yeah,
maybe it has a distinctive sound.
Is it like a fastball, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, whistles? Is that what it does? What?
I remember, and Bruce is going to have to give me the date to this.
What?
But it was Augie Tamarello's first season.
74, yeah.
And Rafael Septian.
They trotted him out there and everybody said, what is he doing?
Kicked a 50-yarder.
He kicked like 50. Seven over 50 in his career here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, one of the first soccer-style kickers, because they were not common at all.
Oh, no.
Not at that point. No.
Jan Stenrud, who kicked for the Chiefs, he kind of opened the door for it, for the soccer-style kick.
Yeah, right after Gogolak, yeah.
Was Rafael the best we've ever had?
Oh, yes. Kicker?
Place kicker?
Yeah, it had
yes.
to be, huh?
Yes.
John Rivetto was pretty good.
Rivetto was good, but he didn't have the range.
But Rivetto would also bunt punt. You know, and Rivetto
was also the
10.
Most eccentric kicker we've ever had.
Yeah, he was also
history.
The funniest.
Well, that's because he run with Tommy Battle. That's why.
They would drag race down Congress. One on
him and Battle?
Rivetto and who was it? Somebody can call me and correct me on this, but he and a teammate were drag racing down in Congress. You know, one going this inbound, one going outbound, same way, just –
That was before.
They just flat nuts, man.
But wasn't Rivetto and Tommy Battle roommates?
At one time, I think
they were roommates because Tommy was a kicker.
There were some tails.
Yeah, because Tommy's dosing with some tails. Yeah, Tommy's a good guy.
Need to get Tommy on this
show. Oh, God, yeah, we need to get Tommy.
That's two hours easy.
Oh, yeah.
I can get Tommy on here. That'd be fun.
Tommy would be fun.
Richie Cunningham was good. Yes, very good.
He was money.
And he was good from 50 yards.
Yeah. He was 50-yarder beat Southern Miss in their homecoming that year.
But wasn't it Richie's kick that sailed wide that would have tied Tulane in that that game in the Dome? Was it, Richie? When Brian Mitchell ran for 196.
We lost 42-39.
Dwayne Williams ran for 222.
Yeah.
And I swear to goodness, Tulane had never seen an option attack in their life before that game.
It's like, what is this? Is this football?
They ran a two-minute drill, Glenn, and went like 70 yards in like a minute and 20 seconds and never threw the ball.
Threw the ball like eight times all night.
It was just an option. Ran for 500 yards. Yeah, Mitchell and Williams.
I'm listening to this. You know what I'm most amazed about? We can't remember what we had for lunch, but I'll be damned. You've given me all these stats on these games.
Yeah. My lunch wasn't that memorable.
Isn't that the first signs of dementia? You can remember stuff from way back.
They made an impression on us.
There you go,
No,
Tom.
The first sign of dementia is you can't remember jack about anything.
Oh, okay.
And I remember your name, and I remember Tom's.
At times you don't.
I remember what I had for lunch today.
You're ahead of the rest of us.
I did too. I had a crisp po' boy. Yeah.
I haven't done that since Garrett passed.
Oh man, they're good.
We still got to do the Saints when we come back now.
Oh wait, my heart is beating again. Five Guys Stories and Lies, and we'll be back.
Super Bowl Saints.
Yeah, it's gonna be like Three Guys Stories and Lies if they don't win the Super Bowl.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Well, we have about 10 minutes left of this evening's show. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. And by the way, excuse me, we will be back with you next Wednesday. And we are actually having discussions as we speak on the guests that we're going to have. Glenn won't be with us. Glenn is taking a Caribbean cruise for a ship that we hope gets there and comes back without any particular difficulties that seem to be happening a lot with cruise ships these days. But we'll be pulling for you, pal.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
No. I would love to go.
I have never either, but have you ever been on one?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, okay, because I heard a comedian describe it as, imagine you're standing in the middle of the Bellagio Hotel, and it floats away.
You know, you don't have to go to the casino. They have movies, they have theater, they have some of the best restaurants anywhere on it.
I think she was talking about the size of the Bellagio and the amount of people and rooms that you have.
The good thing about a cruise is, You can totally relax and disconnect from the rest of the world, and that's.
I would be hard pressed not to go up on the highest deck I can get on and just lay down and enjoy it and watch the ocean.
No, that's the fun part. But I mean, they have verandas outside your rooms on a lot of ships, and so you can just sit on your veranda and basically watch. In some cases, if you go to Northwest, you can see whales. So you go to the Caribbean, you can see other type. Fish and things like that, and just relax.
I wouldn't be sitting on anything that has the ability to break off the side of the boat.
It's not
going to
break off, Tom. It's not a P-roll. All right, get out of
here. Where's the cruise? Where are y'all heading to?
No, we're going to Seattle, and we'll go from Seattle to Juneau, Alaska.
Oh, how cool. You're doing the Northwest trip.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So. It's a trip I promised my wife when she retired. She retired 2 years ago, and it didn't remind me.
And you're going before it gets too cold up there.
Yes, this is the last one of the year. This is the last.
Are you going to bring us all a souvenir?
No. Yeah, I'll bring you a.
Bring me some ice.
I'll bring you a piece of ice. Yeah, yeah,
that's some whale lard.
Yeah. I'll bring you a piece of ice, Tom. I'll put it in a little deal. So anyway, this is her retirement
deal. I want lobster.
Oh, it's king crab up there and stuff.
I'll take king crab.
You have to go on the East Coast to get that or the Caribbean. to get that. I'm like you, though. I love lobster, but
we're a little bit off topic.
Yeah, just a little bit. But you started.
Well, you'll do anything not to talk about the Saints.
Yeah,
the who?
Yeah, there you go. Who dat, baby?
See that, Phil? It's not just you. That Don has a problem.
Yeah, he hates the Saints too.
I don't hate the Saints.
He doesn't hate it. You know what?
They're not the Yankees.
No. In his defense, I'm like him. I don't live and die the Saints. I could care less. If they lost that game the other night, I mean, I wouldn't have been out of shape. I know plenty of guys who would have been.
Yeah.
You're just
not passionate about the Saints.
No,
like
not.
Tom obviously is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't live and die by them anymore, but I mean, I grew up.
You are passionate.
I had season
them.
Tickets from game one with my dad.
Sure, I understand.
I'm from the area. So,
okay.
I'm a Saints fan.
You don't have to defend it. We know you're passionate about them. Everybody should be passionate about, I think, one team.
Bruce got
somewhere.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Bruce got the Cowboys. Yeah. You got the Saints, I guess, huh, Bob?
No one really special.
Yeah, me either. No, I mean, you know, I mean.
Clint, we hate to bother you.
Do you lose sleep if the Saints lose?
It depends. Like, obviously, if it's a playoff game, you know, I think you'll obviously wind up losing a little bit of sleep over that. But if it's just a regular season game, barring anything, like if it's the Falcons, I'll probably be a little upset about it, but I won't lose any sleep over it. A postseason loss that gets you out of the chance of winning the Super Bowl, definitely.
He's been listening to too much coach speak.
Boy, no kidding.
All right, you know what?
Thank you.
You know what?
You're welcome. Good night, everybody.
I'll be here all week.
You know?
Yeah. I need a pick.
Hey, the only good.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, before we go off, for sure.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
The only good thing about a NFL team losing in the playoffs is, well, just that much closer to spring training.
Yeah, that's right. For me, it's that much closer to hockey season, too.
Oh, well.
That's coming
I
up.
Can do without that. But
all right, Tom. Saints Rams, they're playing in L.A. It's the first game since they finished with such a. Notoriety a year ago. I will pick.
Revenge Bowl.
No, I think that's got nothing to do with this. Nothing at all. It's a tough pick. You know what it really is?
Really? No, we should play the Jeopardy song.
Give me the Saints 21-17.
Yeah, that's on a road.
Yeah. And L.A. is a 3-point favorite in the game.
Yeah,
very good of you to know that on the road. Yeah. Who are you picking?
On the road again.
Who did he take? He took the Saints?
He took the Saints, yeah.
Okay, we only have a few minutes left.
Okay, you're 0-1, so.
So what the hell? Shoot for 0-2. Rams, 24-21.
Rams, ooh.
Uh-oh, Clint got mad at me.
24-21. Tom takes New Orleans, 30-24. See, I told you we were almost done.
Rams in a shootout. 31-30.
Well, Bobby's going against the Black Eagle. Right.
And Bruce.
34-32.
Ooh.
On some screwy play, the Rams.
Woo.
And before we go, we should certainly take notice. This is the 18th anniversary of 9/11.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
And I know everyone has thought of that at one point or another. Today and remembered where they were when it occurred, and remembered that the true heroes, not athletes, the true heroes were in those towers and the responders.
Yep.
But, you know, as everyone says,
the planes.
We shall never forget. Five Guys, Stories and Lies. That's it for tonight. Ed Orgeron's show is next here on 103.7 The Game.
Go Tigers.
I'm Don Allen.
Go Cajuns.
Tom, Glenn. Bobby.
Go Saints.
Bruce.
I'm going home.
And our wizard behind the curtain. That's Clint. We'll see you next week.